This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. The weather is still relatively warm, but winter is just around the corner. What can you do now to make sure your lawn and garden are ready for spring? Joining me are Campbell County Extension Agent for Horticulture David Kester and from the Civic Garden Center, Pete Hunninger. You can join the discussion by calling us at 513-419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
David, we'll start with you. What should people be doing right now to, first of all, their lawns to make sure they're ready to go? Well, or ready to go to sleep, I guess.
Sure. It's a great time. It really is a good idea to get those leaves off of it. They can smother your grass, and so go ahead and rake those. Try to get them up as best you can. And, of course, compost them by all means. Don't throw them out. Don't put them on the curb. Just make sure you use those in a compost pile. We have an abundance of clay soil in this part of the country, and nothing will improve it better than good old compost. So use that. Consider your leaves as a great resource, because that's what they are.
When you say compost them, and we have a compost bin at our house, and I know we do throw some leaves in there. If we took all the trees that we had and all the leaves that we had, not the trees, but the leaves from all the trees and put them in there, I mean, we would overload it. I mean, so what can you do? Should you really try to save all of them?
You should.
Where do you put them?
What you really need to do is think about making lasagna. And you put a layer of leaves, and you put a little bit of dirt on top of that, another layer, and a little bit of dirt on top of that. And you will just be amazed at how quickly that pile will shrink. It just begins to decompose readily, and within no time, you can even start to use that material in the spring of next year. So I know that it just seems like you've got such a volume of leaves and it's going to be really tough, but it just is amazing how quickly they will start to decompose.
Pete?
Well, another thing you can do is you can run over them with a lawnmower. And particularly if you have a bagging lawnmower, and then you could take those, empty the bag into the wheelbarrow, and then take them to your compost pile, and that will allow them to break down faster and take up less space. Also, then you can use them as a kind of a overwintering mulch. If you put down whole leaves over a vegetable bed, it'll act like a series of shingles on a roof, and it'll make it impossible for water to penetrate into the soil and create a kind of a mat that can be destructive. But if you run them through run over them with a mower, they're chopped into small pieces, then you could put 1 to 3 inches on top of your garden bed and prepare it as a overwinter, and that'll help stop weeds from coming up in the spring and eventually break down and add more humus to the soil.
You talk about using a lawnmower to sort of chop them up and get them off the lawn in a bagging lawnmower. Can you chop them up and leave them on the lawn at all?
You can if you get them fine enough, and that's another good point, because don't put your lawnmower away. You really want your lawn or your grass going into winter at about 2.5 inches. So there used to be that old saying, leave it long going into the winter. That is not a good idea. Go ahead and cut it.
We have a question now from Rick. Rick is from Pennsylvania, but is driving through the area and has a question. Hi, Rick.
Hi.
What's your question?
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
Glad to catch this conversation. I help out on a soccer with a group of soccer kids in our town in the park, and I'm wondering about how to renovate that soccer field. It gets such hard use and such regular use that the opportunity to renovate it is difficult. The season is coming to an end right now in central Pennsylvania. Is it too late to try to aerate and overseed that with certain grass species that would establish themselves before winter? Or what are your recommendations?
I think you're way too late on seeding, not too late on aerating. And really, it's amazing how aeration can really improve a field. Even the existing grass that's on there, if you aerate, and I don't mean just renting a really shallow aerator. I mean one that will go down and take a core and bring it up onto the surface of that field. And I always kind of say that the parents and the coaches get the fields they deserve, because they won't get off of them enough to let the grass grow and to recover. And I understand that there's just tremendous pressure to have games every day and practice on those fields, but grass just isn't intended to take that kind of abuse, and you need to get off of it and see if you can get an alternate field in the spring, and at that time go ahead and renovate, fertilize, and reseed, and give that new seed a chance to establish.
Thank you very much. One other quick question. Are there any species that you can recommend that germinate and emerge quickly and are durable as far as athletic fields go?
For quick germination, of course, you've got your ryegrass, but it's not as good. It clumps, and I don't think it's as good as your fescues are. And that, in your part of the country, you're probably much better off with some of the fescue.
Okay, so it just means we've got to sacrifice and stay off the fields and rotate. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Rick. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment as we're talking about preparing your land and your garden for winter. And you mentioned that they shouldn't be planting on a soccer field right now. Is that true for your front lawn too?
Yes, it is. It's we're really way past the the time, the optimum seeding time in the fall, which is really September, is when we recommend it. So we're in November now, and that's pretty tough.
What about in terms of the year we've had, Pete? Maybe you can talk about this. It seems a relatively reasonable year. No real drought or anything like that we've had to contend with. Are the lawns and the beds, the planting beds, in pretty good shape?
Everything is pretty good shape right now. The early season, it was cooler and it was fairly wet. And so certain plants, like the tomatoes and nightshade family vegetable plants, peppers, were slow to get started because there just simply wasn't enough heat. So people's tomato crops came in, fairly well, but came in late. But all in all, I mean, it was great not having that August drought.
And is that good for the trees, too?
It really is. We've had a pretty good growing season for trees, and it wasn't quite as dramatic a fall color as I thought we'd have. But, boy, coming over here, I went on 6th Street, some gorgeous ginkgo trees, and I saw some lacebark elms on 8th Street that are just beautiful right now. And right across the street here, Marianne, in the Free Store parking lot, they've got ginkgo trees, which are just, they're just a golden yellow in color.
It seemed after that big rain on Halloween, the trees all of a sudden popped. I mean, is that because it rained? Does that have anything to do with it?
It not really. It's just, there's so many factors that are involved in that, and moisture in the ground is really one of the most important ones for our, and then just cool nights, sunny days, that's the optimum for fall color.
So there's really nothing you can do to get the best color out of a tree except hope for good weather.
Well, and select the trees that have the best fall color.
We have a question now from Barton from Centerville. Hi, Barton. What's your question?
Hi. Yeah, I just had a comment about the compost. I have two big compost piles, and one lady was saying, can we use all the leaves? And you can never have enough compost unless you like to buy mulch, which is terrible for your beds. But the major thing is you have to keep the black walnut leaves. Luckily, they fall early. You have to keep those out of the compost bed completely and get rid of those. Once they're all gone, you can use any other kind of leaves really work well, but they really need to be mulched up. What I do is put my blower in reverse and gather them up that way, or you can use a lawnmower, because if you put soil right on top of whole leaves, they won't break down.
What's wrong with black walnut tree leaves, David?
It's
jug-grown.
Yeah, that's a substance in the walnut itself, and it's an allelopathic. It actually prevents other trees from growing around and other plants around the walnut, and some of that can be carried over. So you don't want it in.
Well, that's one set of leaves. Then look out for.
Yeah,
look out for that one, Barton. Thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it.
No problem. Yep.
Our number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question or a comment, Elizabeth joins us from Goshen. Hi, Elizabeth. What's your question?
Hi. Okay. I recently bought a house out here, and so I inherited the lawn the way it was. And I'm wondering if this is an appropriate time to treat it. It has a lot of dandelions in it. If this is an appropriate time to treat it before winter really sets in, or is that something I need to wait until the spring to do?
You can treat in the fall and get rid of some of the broadleaves that are in there. You might, you're probably going to be doing it again in the spring as well. But you might want to try just fertilizing it this fall, and you'll be fertilizing the cool season grass at the expense of the warm season broadleaf weeds. So you may get a little bit of outcompete them there a little bit, but I'd say in the spring you'll probably have to do it again as well.
Okay. Yeah. But thank you. I'm not going to hurt the grass by doing it now.
No, this is a great time to fertilize. A lot of people think you should be doing this in the summer, and it's really better in the cool season. And in Kentucky, we always say fall is the best and really the only time we want people fertilizing their lawns.
Thanks for your call, Elizabeth. We appreciate it.
Well, there's also the thing about dandelions also is that it is good bee forage. You know, maybe you don't want to eradicate them.
Explain that. Say a little more.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are allowing their lawns to be a little bit more, you know, mixed vegetation. At home, we have a kind of a rougher kind of situation because we have more kind of a small homestead, but we don't really worry about dandelions because it's bee forage. They collect the pollen, and so it's necessary. We also plant a mix of white Dutch clover into our lawn. Because that is also a bee forage and nitrogen fixing.
So really some of those weeds then can have some value.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason that you have to have a lawn that looks like a golf course?
If you ask me, no.
Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes you're in a neighborhood where you're in competition with the neighbors and you're expected to do have that really lush green lawn. But boy, I really just like low input lawn care with just a minimum of inputs and try to keep it growing as best you can and crowd out the weeds. And
so some of those weeds are no good, but the dandelions and those flowering sort of.
Well,
what's that pink or the purple stuff that comes up?
Yeah,
those little...
it's just with the dandelions, the problem is that when they go to seed, they just seed in industrial quantities, and it just goes everywhere. So, you know, one dandelion seed head can really infest an entire yard. So,
we go now to Stuart from Norwood. Hi, Stuart. What's your question?
Hey, I have a new house in Norwood, and I am trying to take the yard back. It's been overgrown with ivy, and trees had fallen back there, and so I removed everything I could, but the ivy's still taking over the ground. What can you do to get rid of it?
Well, you know, ivy is resistant to Roundup. It really is not a good control for that. And I think you're probably, you know, I would recommend that you just try to slowly start pulling and take it back that way.
Do you have to dig deep to get the roots out? Or
if you really start to pull and get those out, I mean, it sounds worse than it is, but I think you can make a lot of impact in a short period of time, and you have to stay with it for a year or so.
And also, you don't want to till, because that just kind of breaks up and spreads the root mass around. So that hand pulling, which is tedious, but depending on the size of your yard, just isolate one area and just keep moving across it in blocks.
Take your time and work on it. Thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Keith, who now is calling. Keith, what's your question?
I've got a section of my lawn that's sloped underneath some trees, and I have found it virtually impossible to grow anything there. I've tried reseeding several times, putting some turf down, et cetera. Do you have any suggestions on anything else I could put down there that might grow either now or in the spring?
No. I really don't. I think there's probably some things, but why don't you just mulch it and let it go and just put a mulch down there and forget about trying to grow. I mean, there are some really tough, and it sounds like if it's sloping like that, it's probably dry shade, which is really one of the toughest that we've got to try to grow in. And really, I think you can do your tree a favor and yourself a favor if you just mulch that area, and you won't have to try to grow anything there or mow it.
And I guess, David, one of the things I should bring up that I've heard you say a million times is don't put that mulch right up against the tree.
Exactly. Really away from the trunk and no more than 2 to 3 inches in depth. And just plan on replenishing it lightly, yearly, and then maybe even rough it up before you put the new mulch on top of it.
You know, another thing you can do, too, is that just for aesthetic purposes, if the trees are deciduous, you know, they drop their leaves every year, you can plant different flower bulbs, particularly daffodils, underneath the trees. And so you'll have some color and growth, you know, during the early spring, and then they die back. And by that time, they, you know, the leaves and the trees are branching, are, you know, coming out, and so you have your shade. So,
Keith, thanks so much for your call. Speaking of bulbs, let's talk about that. Now is the time to start getting those bulbs in?
Sure is. And really, it's people, you know, they're most of the garden centers I've seen are well-stocked, and I would get out there. And you know, when you see them bloom in the spring, it's too late. You've got to do it right now. And so you're planting now for that really spectacular color in the spring. And we, in this part of the country, you know, the daffodils do much better for us than tulips do.
The last time I planted bulbs, which now has been a couple of years ago, I was very disappointed in the spring to find that these squirrels had dug them all up and eaten them all. Right. And it was a very depressing spring in our yard, and I've gotten sort of disgusted by it. What can you do to protect those bulbs from being dug up?
You can screen over the top of them, but you've got to take that off. And there are some repellents that can be used. Daffodils seem to be somewhat squirrel resistant, and they don't like those nearly as much as they do tulips. And so
hyacinths. They took all my hyacinths.
No, they will.
and putting them in deeper isn't the answer. Anything
no,
like that.
Not really. They're like little rats, and they will.
But they don't seem to mess with irises as much.
No, they don't.
That would be another option.
Irises? So irises and daffodils are your best bet, to, especially if you have a squirrel neighborhood.
Allium, very good as well.
Jennifer's calling from Villa Hills. Hi, Jennifer. What's your question?
Hi. I have a river birch that seems to be depleting nutrients from my lawn. It's yellow, and the grass is very sparse. Is there what particular fertilization can I put down in that area to help the lawn?
Well, river birch are somewhat shallow rooted, so that could be. And again, you can expand your mulch circle, bring it out more so that you don't have to grow as much grass under there. And then I would just supplement with fertilizer, and a complete fertilizer applied at this time of year is would be beneficial to the lawn and to the tree. So one of the I wouldn't use herbicides by, you know, at this time of year, but I would say something that a complete fertilizer such as a 10-10-10, that kind of a product.
Would I add more of it to that particular area, because I've already applied it to the lawn?
You could add it. Is there any chance it's a different type of grass than the rest of the lawn?
I don't think so.
Okay. You know, and organic matter in that area would be another. That would be a great spot to maybe top dress your lawn with some compost in that area lightly, and then that would probably help as well.
Jennifer, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. We go now to Barb in Wyoming. Hi, Barb. What's your question?
Hi. How do I get rid of wisteria that's invading my yard from my neighbor's yard?
Root it out. I mean, it's intense. I mean, all you can do is just get down there and find, you know, grub out the roots.
And so there's nothing else to treat it with?
It is I always think that for, you know, those Halloween movies where they have the man-eating plants, I think they were talking about wisteria in that situation. They are really vigorous. And, I think just you have to be as tenacious as it is and really keep working on it. I will tell you that chemicals would probably will kill it out. And it has to have foliage on it. And then if you would spray the foliage with that a couple times during the growing season, it won't do you any good now. It would kill it.
Thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. We're talking today about your yard and garden. My guests are Campbell County Extension Agent for Horticulture, David Kester, and from the Civic Garden Center, Peter Huntinger. Peter, we wanted to mention you've got some classes coming up. We've got some information on our website about those. What types of classes?
Yeah, it's the Community Garden Development Training Program. Starts tomorrow night at 6 p.m. It's a series of 12 classes that help individuals and different groups prepare to start a community garden. And they take place between May of next year. and they're free. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me through the Civic Garden Center.
Very good. And we have contact information on our website, wvxu.org. To call us now, 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter. We go to David in Loveland. Hi, David. What's your question?
Good afternoon. In our subdivision, lots of the homes have beautiful front yards. People do a nice job. The backyards are on ravines. Some folks want to have lawns, and other folks, like me, would just as soon let the forest floor be the forest floor. Do I need to concern myself with getting the leaves out from under the natural trees that are in our backyard area on the ravine?
No, just let it do what it does. I mean, that's basically what you want to do, is create a kind of forest floor. You know, large branches and stuff you may want to remove, but even smaller twigs and stuff you can let naturally decompose back there. There's also some pretty interesting things you can do, some border plantings like native hazelnuts. You know, there's some edible landscaping you can do back there. I think you can also do things with blackberries. There's also currants, gooseberries, and things that you can do, some edible landscaping back there too. At the Civic Garden Center, we offer several times a year courses in permaculture. And if you're interested in that sort of forest ecology, that's something you may want to look into.
Thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. We go now to Elise in Loveland. Hi, Elise. What's your question?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
We have an acre and a half, and about a fourth of our property is woods. And we have a creek bordering it. And, of course, then we are a perfect pathway for deer. And we also are dog breeders, so we have 8 dogs in the large backyard, so you wouldn't think deer would come through, but these are very bold deer, and they'll come right up to the front yard.
So you're having trouble with the
house and dig up bulbs.
What do you do with the deer, David? This is a question we get a lot.
You've got dogs. And are they out all the time or just...
Oh, they're out a lot during the day, but phase the deer at all. They'll come right up to the fence, and so will the fox that lives near our barn. And I'm not worried about the fox, but it's the deer who are just really brazen.
Yeah.
At our front door, we've got... Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the
plant. Well, let's see if David has any ideas here.
There are some repellents that are... You have to change them all the time. Soap actually will work, but you have to change the brand of soap so that they get a different scent. Human hair can work. All those things, and you know, I can give you lists of things that will work. There are, of course, there are some great plants that are deer repellent, or not repellent, but that they do not like. And so you might want to switch to those types of landscape plants. Electric fencing, in a subdivision, that's kind of tough, but they work very effectively, and there's solar powered ones now that are excellent. You can also do things with motion sensors. When the deer are going through, it triggers a motion sensor, and either they're sprayed with a water or a radio comes on. All kinds of things like that, but I feel your pain. I know that they're tough, and I don't have a perfect answer for you.
We're going to go now. Sorry for that, Elise. We hope we got a little bit of help there. We're going to go now to Mike in Burlington. Hi, Mike. What's your question?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I've got a beautiful bald cypress tree in my yard. It's pretty good size, and I'm getting these knobby roots all through my lawn. When I read up on the tree, it said that they would stay pretty much around the trunk of the tree, but I'm getting them all the way across my lawn. And I was wondering if there was anything that I could do without hurting the tree. But, I mean, they're getting so big now that I even clip them with my lawnmower when I mow. And it's just, you could twist an ankle walking through the grass.
That usually only happens when they're really exposed to a lot of moisture, like around bald cypress are just gorgeous trees, as you know. And if they're planted around a pond or a lake area, they will develop the knees and they'll come up. And I assume that's what these are, but I've never heard of them coming up in a lawn where it's drier. But, the only thing that I could tell you is just to continue mowing frequently. But if you do anything, I know of no way to prevent the tree from doing that.
I can't think of anything either. Is your lawn really soggy and wet?
Well, no, but it is. I do have like a wet area in my yard, and it is on that side.
Yeah.
And it's
kind
of like above it a little bit. And I also have an in-ground pool in the backyard. Mm. So it's not that the, I mean, there's drain tiles that go past that area, but it's actually, you know, the trench goes well beyond where the tree's at down to, you know, near the street.
Oh, yeah.
So it deposits the water right out there. It's not like it's... Mm.
So nothing he can do.
I mean, you know, let it go and try to enjoy them because they are unique, but I don't know of anything except just being out there and cut them as soon as you see them.
Yeah. Mike, thanks so much for your call. I'm sorry we don't have a better answer. Did you have another comment there?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, he's got drain tile out there. The other, you know, to put in some more, you know, drain tile to try and dry the area up might help. But other than that, I can't think of it.
We are running out of time. We have lots more questions. We'll maybe grab these guys and go to our Facebook page quickly and have you answer a couple of them. We'll see what we can do there. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Campbell County Extension Agent for Horticulture David Kester and from the Civic Garden Center Peter Huttinger. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeyer. Today's technical director was Bruce Ellis. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.